Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, co-founder and CEO of Employee Cycle, and you know us. That's right. We are your HR analytics dashboard that's helping all of you HR and people ops leaders become smarter and more data-driven. How do we do that? We help you stop having to export all of those crappy CSVs and spreadsheets from all your different systems, HRIS, ATS, engagement, performance, blah, 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 blah. And we have a dashboard that connects to all those different systems to pull all your data into one place so you can view, track, share, and analyze all that people data together. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today I would ask all of your help to help me welcome a special guest. And that special guest is Raymond Lee, CEO of Career Minds. And today we're going to talk about a very unique topic, which is how HR can help employees redefine retirement. Raymond, welcome to the podcast.
Woo!
Raymond!
Love it, Bruce. Thanks for that great introduction. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great. So, Raymond, we always kick off the podcast with the same question so people can get to know a little bit about you. And that is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Well, Bruce, first of all, you're kind of dating me a bit because I got to go back to my days of college, where I graduated with an industrial organizational psychology master's degree and got into HR in 1994. I was really intrigued with employee assessments, and that was my entree into HR. I started as a recruiter and enjoyed a 15-year career in HR in a variety of different roles before starting my company, Career Minds.
Awesome. And then tell us a little bit about Career Minds and what your company does.
Absolutely. So in working in HR, I've seen outplacement from both sides of the desk. And Career Minds is a modern day outplacement solution. We started about a decade ago. In 2008, it was the beginning of the recession. So for us, it was a great time to introduce a new way of providing outplacement services. But I had years of experience in managing outplacement vendors. Also, I've gone through outplacement through reduction in force. And so, I had that background in HR, and I saw a terrific opportunity to, disrupt a very old, very traditional model that has been in place for almost 50 years.
And I've told you this before, but every time I think of outplacement, I think of George Clooney in that movie Up in the Air, where he's flying around and helping companies fire people.
So that's great. Well, it's a fantastic movie. I've seen it a couple of times. And in the early days, we raised some venture capital, and that was actually my opening slide, because a lot of the investor community would scratch their heads and say, "What is outplacement?" And I would go to that movie by George Clooney. The only difference is we're not doing the firing. We're really the ones in the room next door, taking the employees from the point of separation and helping them transition into something great.
Got it. So you're not racking up a lot of air miles.
I am in a different way. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. So back to the topic, which is how HR can help employees redefine retirement. So in the way that most people think about retirement, what does that look like? How do you believe now that most people perceive retirement in the old way? And then we can talk about what it looks like to actually redefine it.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, through our outplacement services, back in 2016, where this all started with redefining retirement, we were doing a large-scale reduction in force with a pretty traditional company, insurance company. And we found that a number of their employees were over the age of 55, and they weren't necessarily looking to go through an outplacement program where they were updating their resume, their LinkedIn profile, working with a coach. And so they weren't engaging with the outplacement services. And after we got talking with them, we quickly realized that, at the age of 60, they They knew they needed to work. They wanted to work, but they didn't want to go back into the kind of position that they were in for most of their career. And they had the thought of maybe partially retiring, but wanted to sort of reinvent themselves and wanted to continue to add purpose and meaning. You know, people today are living a lot longer. And so, you know, this idea of just turning 65 and retiring at the beach or at the golf course wasn't necessarily what people were wanting to do. And so we saw there was an opportunity that people were looking for help as they got later in their career to help them think about how can I pivot into something different that is going to really be purposeful for me, you know, for that individual as they're, you know, getting later in their career.
That's really interesting. And I have so many questions about this. The first one, which I'm interested in, is are people job hopping just as much at the end of their career as people are in the beginning or middle of the career we're seeing, where people may only stay at a company for 12 to 18 months?
Great question. And I kind of segment employees in either they're playing to stay or they're playing to win. And what I find interesting is as employees are with a company over a long period of time, employees who don't like change generally will stick with the company. And as they get, you know, later in their career, ones who are playing to win are always going to seek out continuing learning opportunities, continuing training to stay relevant. There is a segment of the employee base who are playing to stay, and they over time become complacent. And they're the ones who, when impacted by a reduction in force, are really the harder ones to transition into a new job because their skills have gotten outdated. And as you are aware, in today's, you know, technology, ultra fast digital, you know, economy that we're in today, it's so important that you keep up your skills. And so I think over time, you know, as people are with a company for a long period of time, eventually you're going to fall into one of those two buckets, either playing to stay, which means that you're counting down the days, you know, you're not really even contributing, or you're playing to win. And so that's sort of how I segment the employee base.
One of the things you said earlier was that people are living longer. And so because of that, have you seen people wanting to work longer, even if they are able to retire?
I have. My father-in-law is 67 years old, and he works for a bank in New York. And, you know, if I sit down with him, he'll say, I don't ever plan to retire. Like he loves his job. He loves what he's doing, and he's contributing. I think that also, you know, there's survey research that's out there that was done by the Workforce Institute that suggests they ask this question, this very question is like, you know, how old is too old to work? And the answer to that question is it depends. There's three factors that it depends on. First, if the employee has kept up with their job skills and is relevant, that's number one. Number two is that they're fit to work, you know, so they've taken care of themselves and that they're healthy. You know, healthy doesn't necessarily, it just means that you're taking care of yourselves and you can get to work. There's absolutely no correlation between age and performance. If you keep up with your job skills and you remain healthy as an employee, you can work however long you want. And so it boils down to it's an employee's decision. And we're seeing more and more people working beyond retirement. And companies are okay with that. You know, as long as they're contributing and learning and growing, you can work till 70, 75, 80.
And because we're talking about retirement, I'm assuming that because there's a finite number of jobs at any one company, you actually need people to retire in order to hire newer and specifically probably junior employees, correct? Or when people say that, they're thinking about it incorrectly. And in fact, as long as you're more senior employees that are at retirement age or potentially try or typically push towards retirement, they can really stay. And maybe you don't need to hire at a junior stage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So the two things that came to mind when you mentioned that, one is a statistic that's recently published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS. If you Google BLS or Bureau of Labor Statistics, percent labor force, you know, by age, you're going to see that the over 55 category, as reported by the BLS, is the fastest and the biggest growth segment of the labor force over the last 12 months. So what that means is, you know, when you look at anyone that's over the age of 55, even over 65, you're finding that companies are hiring people who were in retirement or retired, and they realize, you know what, I'm bored, I want to work, and so they're coming out of retirement and re-entering the labor force. Whether it's a contract position, a gig job, contract job, they're coming back to work, and then some employees are, you know, are delaying retirement. So there is that one statistic that right now at a 3.5% unemployment, you know, that you have to tap into the later stage career labor market for, we're seeing companies tap into that labor market for talent. The second part of your question, though, is that it's, you know, you can't, as a company, you can't just say, okay, you know, I'm going to go through and we're going to pick employees that we think are ready for retirement. That's, you know, that's illegal to do that. But, you know, what we see companies do today is, just like if you hit it 55, companies off, you know, employees have the option to accelerate their 401k, you know, contributions. There's a catch-up program that the government allows for employees over 55 to participate in. The other thing companies are doing is just providing information around, you know, retirement planning, whether it's finance, whether it's social, emotional, career change, that companies are investing dollars into training employees around, you know, reinvention and what would come later. And what that's doing is it's helping employees think about what retirement would look like versus, you know, kind of this game of chicken where, you know, you don't want to ask the question because you don't want to get hit with a lawsuit. The employee doesn't want to ask, you know, even signal to the company that they're thinking about retirement because they may get pushed out. So, you know, there's more and more of a dialogue that's being created between the employee and the company that is healthy, and it's just a natural way of, you know, helping individuals retire on their terms, on their timeline. So there's other ways that we're seeing companies do that, but that's a long-winded answer, Bruce, to your question.
No, that was great. And so let's now make this as actionable as possible for our HR and people ops leaders who are listening. And let's break down creating a retirement redefining strategy around, one, really figuring out who the population is that could and or should be retiring. What does it look like to actually put together a strategy to help employees redefine retirement? And then what does it actually look like to really help them redefine it, whether that's helping them afterwards, a placement, get a new job, new skills training, etc. So the first thing is, how do you even figure out which cohort and population group you should be talking to about this? So to your point, it doesn't feel weird that you're trying to push people out, and or more importantly, you're trying to make sure that you're not doing this illegally.
Sure. Well, so you can be reactive and proactive, and I'm going to comment on both. The reactive is if you're faced with, you know, some market challenges and you have to do a reduction in force, sometimes companies will put a voluntary retirement program in place, you know, where it's, you know, an incentive, or they incent their employees who are of a certain category, and you can make that, you know, 60 and above with 10 years of service, or, you know, maybe it's 57 with 15 years of service. So you can create some criteria if you have to act tomorrow, where you can, you know, put a benefit package together to incent employees to voluntarily take a retirement or early retirement package. And that's been done for years. The other thing that I would say is a little bit more proactive is instituting or looking at a phased retirement offering, which is completely voluntary. And what that does is it sets some, you know, it's a benefit that you put in place that, you know, signals to your employees that if you want to retire, but you're not looking to retire tomorrow, you can sign up for the phased retirement, which can go, could be a 2-year program. And so you kind of define what that looks like in terms of, you could say it's going to be anyone that's 60 years and, you know, so many years of service. And then what you do is you retire gradually over time. So, you know, if you sign up for a 2-year or 1 year, then you can reduce your work hours maybe from, you know, 40 hours to 30 in the first year or first 6 months, and then go from 40 to 20 in the second year. And then what you do is you get into a mentoring scenario with more of a junior person and help transfer that knowledge to an employee who will eventually pick up, you know, your responsibilities. And there's a lot of research that suggests employees who are eligible for with retirement would rather, you know, slowly transition into retirement over time. So if they reduce their work hours by 20 hours and are mentoring someone, they can spend the other 20 hours, you know, really thinking about what am I going to do once I retire? And it's a much more preferred way of retirement. So, you know, I'm seeing a lot more companies bring in this phased retirement approach as a way, you know, that allows people to voluntarily, you know, go into something that isn't, it's very different than just saying one, on a Friday or it's the end of the year in 2 months, you say, okay, I'm going to retire. And then it's this mad scramble to figure out, okay, what's he working on or she's working on? We need to quickly, you know, get someone else in there. And then 2 months later, the person Monday morning, they throw the big retirement party and then all of a sudden they're fully retired. It's a much tougher transition for that person.
And as you're identifying this population group, how do you make this group feel that you're thinking about their best interest during the succession planning, but then you also are not making them feel that they should be fearful of their jobs?
That takes a lot of work on senior leadership. You have to, you know, you can't just put a program out there. You have to, you know, have a culture and environment where there's trust in the senior leaders, where, you know, if you have this program, you're going to have to hold employee meetings. And it's more than just, you know, putting an email and, you know, putting the benefit out on the intranet site. You really have to say, you know, what's the value to the employee and the company? Because, you know, some employees may be cynical and they may think to themselves, you know, okay, what's the company, what's their real motivation here? You know, and you have to be mindful of that. If you're a company that isn't, the culture isn't one that isn't necessarily, you know, maybe employee friendly, you have a lot of policies in place, and, you know, it's you have to have the right culture to bring something in, because employees have to see this as a win-win for both them and the company in general.
Awesome. So now that you've identified this group of individuals and team members that you want to start promoting this message to and start identifying and talking to them about potentially retiring or figuring out what is this reinvention of retirement looks like for them, now it's time to actually create a plan. When you create this plan to help redefine and coach people about retirement, what types of things should you be thinking about? Are you thinking about, you already spoke about some of them in regards to giving people a soft landing and a slower transition internally, but should people be thinking about how these employees could continue to get what they're getting out of work, but externally? So should people think about setting them up and trying to find nonprofit boards they should sit on, associations or religious institutions? Should they think about talking to them about finding other part-time but low-stress jobs, like being an Uber driver? I mean, what does this look like in regards to creating a plan to know how our listeners should even figure out what to do with this employee group?
Sure. Well, the first step of this plan is just through education. And we host with our clients just employee info sessions around the idea of redefining retirement. And it's a 2-hour workshop where employees can just, you know, voluntarily sign up. It's not, you're signing up to retire. It's almost as if you're bringing in your 401k provider or your pension provider to just, you know, answer questions related to, you know, 401k and retirement savings and the importance of diversification and you have to create a way that people can sign up and learn about holistic retirement, redefining retirement. And the training program that we do covers 5 life arenas, and it touches on some of the things that you talked about. So you certainly have, you know, finance and insurance is one key component to it. But you have things like life meaning and purpose. You know, so what, when you retire from the corporate world per se, you know, what types of things are things that have always given you life meaning? You know, maybe you couldn't have started this hobby or this, you know, kind of career early on because you had to, you know, you're the breadwinner. So you had to find more of a full-time job that was with a company and opportunity. So identifying what brings you life meaning and purpose. Family and relationships is a big one. Generally, when you hit 55 is when, you know, your kids could start having grandkids and, you know, your kids could be living at different parts of the country. And so the idea of, you know, now that you're an empty nester, thinking about downsizing and maybe looking at moving closer to your kids or your grandkids. So that may be buying some property in another area. You know, health and wellness. How are you taking care of yourself? Hobbies and leisure. What's funny is that I was, you know, when we were putting this program together, Bruce, one thing that we heard was always a challenge is a person who was retiring and their spouse had already been retired for 5 years. And this person would go home, you know, they're in retirement now, and their other spouse, you know, is at home. They have their whole routine. They, you know, volunteer, they go play golf, whatever the case may be. Well, when this one person retired from, you know, 40 years in financial services, she was expecting her husband or spouse to, you know, be their entertainment. And she learned very quickly that that wasn't part of his plan. And so, you know, going through these life arenas and these life stages in a workshop format educates individuals to think about, you know, what are the things that are going to be important to you? And I will tell you, they're not thinking about them today. They're thinking about their jobs. They, you know, little bits and pieces of it will pop up that may be relevant. But if you're in HR, giving your employees information about redefining retirement is the first place to start. And so it's through a workshop, a webinar, you know, bringing in someone who can educate your employees in a non-threatening environment where they attend, they get some information, and then maybe they'll take that information and go into HR and say, you know, I attended that session and, you know, I'm 58 years old, I'm eligible for my pension. And, you know, after listening to that workshop, I feel like, you know, my priorities should be my grandkids or my priority should be, you know, this passion that I've always had of woodworking or whatever the case may be. And it, again, it starts a conversation to move them into, you know, something a little bit formalized. So anyway, that's how I would get started if I was in an HR group, whether they do it internally themselves or they hire someone external, begin with awareness.
And so you've helped us identify who we should be talking to. And then we talked about creating a plan. And now if we're going to execute on this plan, what does this look like? As we give a workshop and we give educational information and get people more comfortable with the thought of retirement, are we bringing in different people to talk about the different aspects of this? Are we interviewing people to figure out what needs they have? How are we really going about executing on this plan so that people feel heard, they feel valued, they don't feel like they're being pushed out, but they also appreciate this experience the same way as if we were trying to retain them, they appreciate this employee experience on the way out?
Yeah, you can definitely take it further. There's assessments out there that are retirement readiness assessments. They're, you know, like a, you know, for leadership, there's, you obviously you're aware of the Myers-Briggs and DISC and Berkman to identify gaps in leadership. Well, for retirement, there's retirement assessments out there that identify gaps in retirement readiness. And so, you know, if you're an organization and you hold one of these general workshops and then someone says, yep, I'm thinking about wanting to retire, but I just don't know where to start, you know, you can expose them to an assessment. It measures their readiness across the six life arenas, and it gives a full report of areas where they need to focus in on, and they can actually start building out a plan. Just like if you are, you know, an individual contributor wanting to get into leadership, you may take an assessment and identify leadership gaps and get coaching and training around that. And so individualizing and personalizing the experience for for an employee beyond the workshop, you can use assessments and coaching to help them put a plan in place. And, you know, the return on that investment is you're really focusing on the employee. It's a benefit that sends a message that you care. You know, you really care for their well-being beyond their working career at the company they were with. They just gave 20 years, 30 years of their life with the company. It's not you're just retiring. We appreciate it. But you're also providing that benefit to help them, you know, transition into something that's meaningful.
That was awesome. So now we're going to move to my favorite part of the podcast, where I ask you a question that's real, random, and ridiculous. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. So the real question, I always ask this every episode because it's very real and near and dear to my heart. And the question is, Raymond, do you like to eat bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
I don't like to eat bread pudding.
Oh, Raymond, I thought we were so close.
I'm being real. I don't like bread pudding, and I never have. I just don't like the consistency of it. So I'm sorry, Bruce, but I'm that spoiler that I just don't eat it.
Oh, Raymond. Well, we're close enough. The next time we meet, I may have to bring three different samples.
Okay.
And have you taste them.
Fair enough.
Hopefully I can make you a believer.
Fair enough. Let's do that.
All right. So the random question, what does retirement look like for you?
Retirement for me, and I thought about this. So I don't necessarily ever want to stop working. I love working. In fact, you know, the idea of work-life balance, I think is kind of I don't necessarily believe in that, because if you enjoy working, you should be able to work as much as you want. And if you know, that's part of your life. And so I always see myself working, but I do feel like I want to get into maybe writing a book or a couple of books, speaking about various topics and kind of working in a consultant kind of thought leadership type of role. So with travel and other things, you know, kind of baked in there. But, you know, that would be retirement for me.
That sounds pretty fun. And I might need to do a debate podcast where you debate against someone about work-life balance. I think that would be interesting.
That sounds good.
And then the ridiculous question.
Okay.
So we talked about the movie Up in the Air. Maybe sometimes it was ridiculous. Maybe it wasn't. But what are some of the most ridiculous outplacement strategies you've seen companies put in place where they're really not showing that they value their employees as they are, quote unquote, pushing them out the door?
Sure. So this goes back about 20 years. What's that tech company? Radio Shack. Radio Shack, and I probably shouldn't call it out, but it's all over the internet. They laid off a number of employees through email. And what we always, we educate our companies, and HR knows this in general, that if you're going to let someone go, you should do it, you know, face-to-face. They've given you, you know, their sweat and tears working for the company. And if you have to eliminate their job through a reduction in force, that employee deserves a face-to-face meeting with their boss, HR present, and, you know, have the opportunity to ask questions and have that face-to-face meeting. And so, you know, laying someone off through email or through a text, you know, in today's day and age, I have a 16-year-old daughter, Bruce, and everything's texting, and, you know, the kids are asking to go out on dates over text and breaking up over text and things like that. I think there's just things in general that you need to do face to face, whether you're, you know, breaking up with your significant other or breaking off an employment contract or an employment. You need to do it face to face. Don't do it over text. Don't do it over email.
Got it. Love the fact that we ended the podcast with relationship advice as well. That's awesome.
Fantastic.
Raymond, thanks so much for being on the podcast. Woo! Raymond!
Bruce, I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Nice. So how can people find you and Career Minds online?
Well, you can go to our company, careerminds.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. So Raymond Lee, Career Minds, you can find me on LinkedIn, and would encourage anyone to link in with me. I'm not a avid Twitter user, but I'm on Twitter as well, HR Entrepreneur. I'm also on Instagram, Raymond M. Lee. And I think that's about it, Bruce. You could find me in Philadelphia if you're ever visiting the Philly area.
Yes, you could find Raymond not eating bread pudding in Philadelphia.
That's right. Exactly right.
So thanks again for being such an awesome guest. And if you also believe that Raymond really provided a lot of education while also being entertaining, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes or wherever else you want to leave a rating, because it shows that we're providing great content and we really care about that. Also, if this is your first time listening to our podcast and you found us because you were already a super fan of Raymond, or you saw the topic and just felt so compelled to listen to it, but now you're super hungry for more content and want to listen to more episodes, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcast player you're listening to. And last but not least, please, 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 all of you HR and people ops leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.
This episode of the Employee Cycle Podcast was edited and produced by Lux Podcast Production. Lux is a creative audio suite that helps clients create, market, and measure their show. Visit luxpodcasts.com to learn how a podcast can benefit your organization. That's LUXE podcasts.com.